by message, a political question, verse 37 and verse 38, Pilate said to Jesus, "What is truth?" Our Father in heaven, this morning, we pray as we open your word that you would speak very distinctly to our hearts. We do pray for our nation. We pray, Father, that there would be an awakening, that there would be a revival in the midst of all the chaos that is now occurring. Be glorified in our service. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The question of Pilate is an immortal as a politician. When I say immortal as a politician, it's something that's going to go on and on and on. What is truth? Two women were walking through a cemetery, reading the tombstones, making comments on it, and they came to one tombstone and it said, "Here lies a politician and an honest man." And the woman said, "My, isn't that strange that they would bury two people in one grave? A politician and an honest man." Well, we certainly do want to know the fact that Pilate was a politician. He preferred the company of Herod more than the fellowship of Jesus. He wanted to wash his hands of the whole matter. He wanted nothing to do with this one that stood before him. And yet, his name is written in the annals of history. The great Apostle Creed says that he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. And this governor of Judea said to Jesus, as he looked him in the eyes, "What is truth?" Pilate did not know truth if he heard it. He would not know truth if he saw it. Now, just a few hours earlier in the upper room, Jesus said, "I am the truth." Our Lord was coming close to the end of his life and ministry. Shortly, he would taste death. Shortly, for all humanity, God would lay on him the iniquity of us all. And I believe the closer we get to the end, the more we'll talk about heaven, about our Father's house, and about home. That's true of all of God's children. The closer they get to the Father's house, the more they think about heaven and going home. Now, what is truth? I have a note that I preached on this subject 61 years ago. I was just a teenager home from Bible college. I don't know what I said, and I'm sure that those in the congregation didn't know what I said. What is truth? May that be a little clearer today? First of all, I want to say that truth is an internal attribute of God, a divine attribute of God. An attribute is something that is true about the character of God. John Wesley said that God was a God of 1,000 attributes. Someone else said the attributes of God are innumerable. But one of his attributes is truth. The triune God is true. Now John, in his gospel, epistles, and the book of Revelation, says more about truth than any other Bible writer. In fact, in the book of Revelation, we read John 6:10, that God is holy and true. In Revelation 15:3, God is just and true. Revelation 19:11, he is faithful and true. The triune God is true. Jesus, when he prayed in that prayer in John 17, said, "This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent." The Father is true. The Son is true. Jesus said, "I am the truth." The Holy Spirit is truth. Jesus said in the upper room, "I have many things to say unto you, but you can't bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth." And so the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, it is said repeatedly that they are true. And as his followers, we're to speak the truth, we're to walk in the truth, we're to worship in spirit and in truth. God is true. God cannot lie. He's not a man. The Bible says that we go astray as soon as we're born speaking lies. And young people will find out if they don't have a lie available, the devil will give you one very quickly. But now, since we're God's children, we're to lie not one to another. Since we've put on Christ, we are to walk in the truth. Now, Jesus said in John 8:44, he said to the unbeliever, "You are of your father the devil. He abides not in the truth because there's no truth in him. He is a liar. And when he speaks, he's the father of lies." Now, secondly, I want you to see that truth must be sought for. You must seek it and find it. And you'll find it when you search for it with all of your heart. Proverbs 23:23 says, "Buy the truth and sell it not." It's available without money, without price. You can know the truth, but it'll cost you a commitment and obedience. Job said, "Where is the place of wisdom or truth?" in Job 28, and he gives us a whole chapter. It's not in gold or silver or precious stones. It's not in the culture. There's only one place that truth can be found, and that is God. The one who made us is true. David said, "I have chosen the way of truth," or trustworthiness. A small boy was on a witness stand in a very important lawsuit, and the prosecuting attorney was cross-examining him. Then he delivered what he thought was the winning blow. He said, "Your father has been telling you what to say in this testimony, hasn't he?" And the boy said, "Yes, he has." Now the prosecuting attorney thought he had won this one. "Now tell us in your own words exactly what your father said." And very modestly, the young boy said, "Well, my father said, the lawyers would try to tangle me in my testimony, but if I would just be careful and tell the truth, I could repeat the same thing every time." Mark Twain says, "When you're in doubt, tell the truth." Cal Thomas, that Christian commentator, said, "The reality is this. If we tell the truth, we only have to tell it once. If we tell a lie, we have to keep telling it forever." Now, thirdly, I want you to see that truth is not popular. In John 8, Jesus said, "You seek to kill me because I tell you the truth." As Christians, we're to speak the truth in love. And in that great love chapter, it says, "Love rejoiceth in truth." Love delights in the truth. But truth is never popular. Truth is not acceptable or desired in this present age. Therefore, it'll cost us something to stand for the truth. Someone said the difference between a politician and a statesman is this. A politician, whichever way the wind blows, that's where he throws his hat. And for a vote, he'll say anything you want to hear. But a statesman wants truth and justice and integrity if he didn't get one vote. Abraham Lincoln said, "Thank God for people who stand for truth even when it's not popular." Abraham Lincoln, when he was 24 years old, served as a postmaster for the New Salem, Illinois, where he lived, and he was paid a salary every year of $55.70. Even at the age of 24, this rail splitter reveals his character of Honest Abe. New Salem Post Office closed in 1836 and had been closed for years. No one had come around, but then one day an official came from Washington, D.C. to settle the accounts with the ex-postmaster Lincoln. who at that time was struggling as a lawyer, not doing very well. The agent informed Lincoln that there was $17 due the government from this post office. And Lincoln got up and walked across the room and opened up an old trunk, got a yellow cloth out, tied with a string, opened it up, and laid out $17. And Lincoln said, "I never use any man's money but my own." Truth is not popular, but I thank God for every individual who will stand for the truth in this day of darkness. Truth comes from the Word of God. We heard that from our testimony, Brother Teeters. Truth does not come from education. It does not come from imagination. It doesn't come from our culture. It doesn't come from any part of human nature. There's no truth apart from God. And whatever is contrary to the nature of God or the revelation of Holy Scripture is not true, regardless of how popular it might be. What was true 1 million years in the past will be true 1 million years in the future. It's not subject to culture. If you forsake the Word of God, you will never, never know truth. James says, the Bible is the word of truth, and this divinely inspired book is true and trustworthy from cover to cover. Paul said we're to handle it rightly. We're to rightly to divide the word of truth. One can never know the truth about God or Jesus Christ or about the plan of salvation or sin or forgiveness or heaven or hell without the Word of God. The depraved mind of man could never think these thoughts if he lived to be as old as Methuselah. There's only one source of truth in this earth, and that's the Word of God. And his thoughts are not our thoughts. When a man speaks contrary to this blessed book, I know there's no light or truth in him. And the Bible says from such turn away. May God open our eyes, that we might behold wonderful things out of the book and never find them to be strange to our ears, but always precious to our soul. Jesus said in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." That great New England poet, John Greenleaf Whittier, said, "We search the world for truth. We weary seekers of the best. We come back laden from the quest, to find that all the sages said is in the book our mothers read." The Bible is the Word of God, and it's true, altogether true. Let's not fall into the error that there might be some portion of it that's not true. It's either all true in the Word of God or none of it is true. All of it is true or none of it is true. If you could say one portion isn't true, you could say anything's not true. But it is a divine, inspired word of God. And then fifthly, I find that truth is necessary for salvation. Speaking of the cross, David says in Psalm 85:10, "At the cross, mercy and truth are met. The mercy of God was great, and the truth about the lostness of man and the blood atonement come together at Calvary. God's wonderful plan of salvation, mercy and truth are met. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Man cannot be saved apart from truth. God would have all men be saved and come to the knowledge of truth." And Paul said to young Pastor Timothy said, "Be strong in God's grace. Be gentle and meek toward the lost. Perhaps God will give them repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth. The truth will set you free from guilt and condemnation and from sin. And if I tell you the truth," Jesus said, "why do you not believe him?" That great preacher, Charles Spurgeon, talks about a galley ship. Now, for you who would not know what a galley ship is, It was a large boat with oars, scores and scores of oars. And prisoners, convicts, were chained to a seat, and they made the oars go. Spurgeon tells a story about this Italian duke who went aboard a galley ship and went from man to man and asked him about him. And each one of them said, it was another person's fault. The judge was bribed. I'm here because of somebody else. But one strong young man said, I'm here. I needed money. I stole it. It's my fault. And that Italian duke laid his hand on his shoulder and said, "Why, you rogue, what are you doing here among such honest people? Why don't you leave?" And he set him free. Yes, we're saved by the truth. And then I want you to see that truth will have an effect on you. Jesus said, "I am the truth, and the truth will set you free. And if the Son of God shall set you free, you shall be free indeed." He said, "Neither do I condemn thee." And we're free from the fear of failure, the fear of death, the fear of eternal judgment. We're free. Truth has an effect upon us. John 17, it has a sanctifying effect. Jesus said, "Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth." The word of God will make us holy. The word of God will help conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. And then Peter says that it'll have a purifying effect. You've purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. Ephesians says, we're not to be carried about by every little wind that blows, but we're to speak the truth. And Philippians 4:8 says, whatsoever things are true, think on these things. And then I want you to see that truth will be difficult to be found in the last days. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We find truth absent from our country today. Our nation has a lack of interest in the truth. We see that in politics. We see it in the news media. Truth has no place in America. The prophet Jeremiah says truth is perished in the land. Hosea in his day said there's no truth or mercy in the land. Deuteronomy 31:17, Moses said, are not all these evils come upon us because our God is not in our midst? The condition of our country is our own fault. We ask for it. All this evil is upon us because God is not among us. We've asked him to leave. We've asked him to leave our schools and our government and our land. You know something? He's taken us up. The truth is this, and you'll never hear it. Sin is the problem, the only problem. It's not Black Lives Matter. Listen, when I was a kid, red and yellow, black and white, all are precious in his sight. Forget about the color of the skin. The problem is not racism. The problem is sin. And you're never going to hear that anywhere. And the only solution is Jesus Christ. He's the only answer. And we're reaping as a nation what we have sown. The prophet said, you sow the wind, you'll reap the whirlwind. And we have reaped a whirlwind and a storm in our country. You've turned to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times are going to come. He's talking about the last days. What's going to be predominant in the last days? Verse 2 says, for men shall be lovers of their own self. And then we're going to drop down to verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Verse 7. Ever learning. Always getting knowledge. Always getting information. Always going to the universities. Burn them all down. Let's go back to the little house on the prairie. ever learning, never able, in all of their learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. They not only do not come to it, they resist it. They're hostile to it. They withstand it. They're depraved and corrupt minds. Look, verse 13. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But Paul said, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. Verse 15, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Paul said in the last days, they'll not be able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And when it's presented to them, they'll resist it. They'll turn from it. And Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 2, when Antichrist comes, he's coming with lying wonders. He's coming with strong delusion. And this is what he said, because you receive not the love of the truth, you will follow him. Jesus said people love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. They love the darkness. They don't want truth. The prophets prophesy falsely, and my people love to have it so. Who is a liar, the Bible says? A liar is a person who denies, 1 John 2:22, who denies that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. And only the Christian believes it. Jesus is God in the flesh. No other religion, no cult believes it. That Jesus was literally God manifested in the flesh. He came, it says in John 1:14, to bring us truth. It was God in the flesh who walked among us and died in our place and arose from the dead. And a liar is a person, I don't care who he is, who denies that Jesus Christ is God. I'm going to the grave believing that he was very God, a very God, and he was the truth. Diogenes, the Greek philosopher from Athens, was very peculiar. He'd walk around the streets barefooted with a peasant robe, with a lantern, and put it in the up to the face of an individual. He said he was looking for an honest man. He never found one. Well, there is no truth apart from Jesus Christ. My heart is burdened for our country. It is either revival or national disaster. If the church does not awaken, if the liberal churches do not awaken, when a man can preach to 25,000 people and say that Jesus is not the only way to heaven, there are other ways. The problem lies at the church. The church must rise and be the church and proclaim the gospel and proclaim Jesus. What is truth? There's no truth apart from Jesus. There's no truth apart from the Word of God. There's no other source of truth on this planet. And the problem with every nation is higher education, more thoughts. Use your mind. Be enlightened. You can think this thing out. No, you can't. You can't deny the Word of God and Jesus Christ and ever, ever, ever come to truth. We need God. We need an awakening in our nation. We need revival. Revival or national disaster. Our Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for your precious word. a question was asked by Pilate, what is truth? Our Father, we thank you for your Son who became flesh and brought truth to us. We do pray for our nation as it is reeling in chaos and confusion. And Father, the answer is so simple, it's your Son. He's the truth. And Father, may we who have named your Son as our Lord and Savior, may we rise up and take our place and witness to the truth. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.